This is lesson number 23, and we are going to cover today. We covered last week the day of the Lord, and we began to introduce how that is that thousand-year period that begins on the Feast of Trumpets some year. And I want to bring to your attention right now that the mercy of God and the love of God, He has given to us in the beginning when God laid out His plan that we have lost. The way that people lived for God that were His people, the Hebrews, is they understood His seasons, they understood His festivals, and they understood the different times of the year and the times that God, His seed time, His harvest, and how His mind, so to speak, worked. And for those of you that are not aware of it, Teshuvah is in Hebrew means repentance. But it also is to return to God, to re-embrace, to repent, and it's preparing to stand before God. And so I know that as we're putting all this together, if you're hearing it for the first time, it can be quite confusing. But Teshuvah, or however you want to say it, is the season that God gave us right before the last trump. And this is going to sound, this will go against what you've been taught, but the way that it was understood until we lost the Hebrew faith and it was Romanized, Gentilized, and we became a Gentile church, is that every year the Hebrews had this season called Teshuvah. And the timing of it is biblical, and of course you're going to see it's 40 days long. And this is not by accident that Jesus was in the wilderness for how long? And so it wasn't by accident that Moses was on the top of the mountain for how long? So what we're doing is we're going to begin to tie all these things together so you'll have a greater understanding. But if you can grasp this, a lot of us were possibly raised in church or fear motivated us, which is a good thing, to continue to live for God. And we just felt like God was the police officer hiding in behind the billboard waiting to catch us speeding or doing wrong. Nothing could be further from the truth. As a matter of fact, the truth of the matter is God is willing that none should perish. God is love. Now, God is also judgment, because in order to remain righteous, He has to be judgment. But the essence of God is that He is long-suffering and His mercy is renewed each day. And we can get into the 13 attributes of God that we will at a later lesson. So this season of Teshuvah begins the 11th month on God's calendar. And it begins, it's the month of Elul. And actually, as you know, the Bible is written according to the star signs. The month of Elul, its star picture is what? The constellation of Virgo. And so this is what we're to do. We're beginning to, so we're preparing to be His bride. So if I'll make this as brief as I can. So the way that they were taught it is that the day of the last trump would be the day of the awakening blast, when someday that those that were in God, in Hashem back then, later to be in Mashiach, Messiah, would be transported, would be brought back from the dead, and they would be the righteous nation. And in order to be righteous, you had to have be cleansed and have no sin. So the Feast of Trumpets begins the first day of the 12th month. The season of Elul begins the first day of the 11th month. Now, you know a month is only 30 days long, and so I've mentioned to you that Elul is 40-day period. So, see if we can tie this together. So, starting Elul 1, that means it runs the whole 30 days of Elul. Then, the 12th month, the first day of the month, is the Feast of Trumpets, where the dead in Christ shall rise. And then, that means that we have this season of Teshuvah for another 10 days, which means that it ends on what? The Day of Atonement, which is the 10th day of the first month. I've been messing up. Did I say Elul was the 12th month? Okay, I think I said the 11th month. Elul begins the 12th month, the Feast of Trumpets, the first month. So correct me on these things. I'm still asleep. And so so then the Feast of Trumpets is the first day of the first month. Teshuvah begins the first day of the 12th month. Day of Atonement is the 10th day of the first month. So we have a 40-day period between the first day of the 12th month and the 10th day of the first month. And this 40 days is seen as the period of Teshuvah, and it is seen as the time of repentance. Now, this I'm giving you these things because as we look at the Scripture, then the Scriptures will begin to make sense without me having to take time to go through many, many Scriptures to get you there. So, the way that they were taught it by God is that none of us lives perfectly every day. We are seasonal creatures. That's why we're like the moon. We are waxing or waning. We have a time of our full glory. But none of us live in the full glory all the time. We do pretty well until we have a temptation or someone bumps us or whatever. So, God gives us this period to where we recognize, here's the way they saw it. What they're trying to do is they're trying to be ready for the last trump, for the trump of the day of the awakening blast. So they know that they have this season to prepare and get their hearts cleansed and be as a virgin in the heavens, the constellation Virgo, to meet the King. Now, if for some chance they are not prepared and they would not be ready at the end of the 30-day period, which brings them to the Feast of Trumpets, then this last 10 days of the season of Teshuvah is called the Yamin Noraim, or the Days of Awe. And it is these 10 days that you know as the Great Tribulation. And the Feast of Trumpets is a 48-hour day. So we have the first day of the first month, which would be the 30th day of Teshuvah, is Feast of Trumpets. But Feast of Trumpets is a 48-hour day. So we see the first and the second of Tishra, and then we have the Day of Atonement on the 10th of Tishra, which leaves this seven-day period in between the resurrection and the day of the return of Christ, should he continue to follow on to his appointments. And we understand from Daniel's prophecy of the 70 weeks, where the first 69 weeks have already transpired and we have been in holding while the time of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. But then at the last trump, when the dead in Christ shall rise, God will turn his election then in Matthew chapter 24. I don't know if I have time to get to it today to break it down, where God will turn his affection back to the elect. And the elect is not American Christians. The elect is the Jewish nation. And he will spend 7 years, which is this seven-day period between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, he will spend this time. So, coming back to Teshuvah. So, they take this period each year, and there are rehearsals that they have been going through for thousands of years now to prepare for this day when this season comes each year. And, of course, once again, it's to return to God, to embrace, to repent. And so, what they see is even though, don't misunderstand me, they see that God is with us all the time, but God comes nearer at this time than any other time, because this is the time when you are weighed in the balance. This is the time we're heading into Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, the Feast of Trumpets, where God is looking at you and your exploits that you have, deeds that you have done, things that you have accomplished in the past year, and then your plans for the future year. And it is seen when God takes the closest look at each individual soul. And this is why they spend this time to truly return and repent. It's a 40-day period, and it's to prepare us for the harvest. And as I've said, it begins the first day of the 12th month. It runs through the 10th day of the first month, Tishra. In Exodus 34, verses 1 through 28, you say, well, where does this come from? Well, it all comes from the Bible. This comes from, remember Moses? He goes to the mountaintop the first time. First time he goes to the mountaintop, he's there 40 days. What happens? They build a golden calf. He comes down. Judgment is cast upon them. People die. And so Moses breaks the two tablets. And then what we see is Moses now returns a second time. And so the first time Moses comes down, he was given the tablets on the day of Pentecost, and we can begin to trace the timeline of God's calendar. But now then, he's going to go back up for a 40-day period the second time. And this 40-day period that he goes back up is beginning on the first day of the 12th month, and then he comes down on the Day of Atonement, representing the second coming of the Lord. And so as I say these things, those of you that are joining us by podcast and tape, they'll sound a little foreign at first because it almost sounds like we have too much knowledge or we're date setting. Nothing could be further from the truth. God wants his children. He says, you're not of the night, you're of the day. Of you, I have no reason to write to you of the time and the seasons. So as you glean this knowledge, your friends aren't going to think you're strange. because they don't think you can know that much about the Bible. It's still all mysterious and prophetic and all this stuff. So in Exodus 34 is where we see Moses go back up the mountain the second time. The Lord said unto Moses, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first. I will write on these tables the words that were in the first tables, which thou break. He was there with the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. And so he ascends on Elul first. He descends on Tishri 10th. Now, the reason that this is seen as the time of Teshuvah is because you've got to remember, this is all indicative and all a futuristic picture when this was written 4,000 years ago or so. It's a picture. Moses goes up the mountain the first time. He's a type of Christ when he comes the first time. They're not ready. So now then, he pronounces judgment upon them. So now he's going to go away again. But this time, they said they are waiting and they are watching and they're not dancing around the golden calf. This time they recognize it's a time to return and to repent and to prepare to meet him when he comes down the next time. So this is where this season comes from. Does that make sense to everybody? Okay. So is Teshuvah relevant to us today? Well, absolutely. What we see in Matthew 25 is we see in Matthew 24 where he gives the signs of the coming ending of this age. Not of the end of the world. That's a poor translation. It's the end of this age. And he tells us, after he gives us, there'll be plagues and people deceived and false Christ and all these things. He ends this whole discourse, just because man has placed another chapter there, doesn't mean we've changed subjects. We just put the chapter and verse there so that we could communicate with each other. So after he finishes telling us the sign of the age, he's not done. Because then he says, and the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Number one, that wasn't foreign to them. They knew the season when the bridegroom would return. So he's speaking to them of something they perfectly understand then. He says, and five of them were wise and five were foolish. Five did teshuvah. They did repentance. They got the oil back in their lamp. They got prepared. And five were foolish. And they that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. And we've covered how a Jewish wedding works. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said, give us your oil, for our lamps are gone out. And of course, the wise answered, not so, there wouldn't be enough for us. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they were ready, went into the marriage, and the door was shut. So this is a understanding, or this is a warning, if you will, that at that season of the marriage, which is another name for the Feast of Trumpets, is the marriage supper, that we are to have this season before to really be prepared. In other words, to put on our best perfume, so to speak, or we're getting really ready to meet our groom who's been gone preparing the wedding place. So I know that's foreign to us, but this is, we are living in the hour where the canker worm and all that Joel prophesied has been eaten away, that the church has been through many silly things. And the only place they haven't looked to go back to is the Word. And the only place you can go to go back to the Word is go back to our mother, which is Jerusalem. And so there is a remnant that is understanding the only way we can fully understand the fullness of the Scripture. And we're not saved by knowledge. But the only way we can understand the fullness of the Scripture is to go back to our heritage, which is in the Jew. Psalms 81, blow the trumpet in the new moon in the time appointed on our solemn feast day. And sound the shofar. And of course, we've learned about the blowing of the shofar. We look at this number 40, which stands for days of testing and teaching. And we see in Genesis chapter 7, verses 4 and verse 17, for yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain on the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I've made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. Now, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the water increased, and bare upon the ark was lifted above the earth. Now, as you grow in knowledge of the workings of the Lord, you're going to recognize patterns. And one of the things that I taught years and years ago is the fact that just from looking at what has been shall be, if you'll remember that Noah was called into the ark 7 days before the door was shut. This is indicative of the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement, the 7-day period between them. And so what we see is what happens. God calls them in, they get ready. This is exactly, I'm throwing out another terminology because you need to understand all these terminologies. If I speak of the opening of the gates, then immediately you should recognize that's the Feast of Trumpets. Because that is seen as the day of the opening of the gate. The day called the closing of the gates. Now, where do the gates come from? Because you were given the blueprint of heaven. Where were you given that? You were given that in the tabernacle and then the temple that Solomon built. The plan was given to David. The temple gates aren't open all the time. There's a moment they open, there's a moment they close. And obviously you can't enter in unless they're open, and you can't come in once they're closed. So I'm wanting you to see that then we have this blowing of the shofar. And so 7 days, Noah gets in before, and then we have our season of testing, this 40 days where the waters are upon the earth. It was interesting because my theory is that it's very possible that 7 days before the last trump that the church will gather, because it will be like the animals that God gathered for the ark. There will be an intensification of the spirit, just like there was in the nature realm of the animals that brought them to the ark. Noah didn't gather the animals. They came supernaturally. And so what we see is, I believe God will do that. So whenever 9/11 happened and the Twin Towers were attacked, I had phone calls from a lot of people all over the place that had listened to our teachings, because that was 7 days before the Feast of Trumpets. And so God is going to do all He can to save humanity. So let's look at another picture. In Genesis chapter 8, and it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the windows of the ark which he had made. So you're going to see this number 40 is not just something we're pulling out of the air, but this is a picture all throughout scriptures of testing, of repentance, of preparation to come to a cleansed earth or to meet a holy God. In Matthew 4, then Jesus was led up of the Spirit, verses 1 and 2, Matthew 4, 1 and 2. He was in the wilderness to be tempted of the devil, and when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. In Acts chapter 1, verse 2 through 3, until the day, now this isn't by accident, so not only does he begin his ministry with 40 days, what's he going to do? He's going to end his ministry with 40 days. And until the day in which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by any infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So we're learning about this season at Teshuvah, and we see in Leviticus 23, as we have covered, that the first of the seven appointments of God start with Passover, where he would be crucified at that springtime planting season. Then the next appointment, unleavened bread, where he would be buried and fulfill that appointment. Then he would be resurrected at the Feast of First Fruits. He would fulfill that appointment. Then he would tell them to tarry in Jerusalem, what? Until the next appointment, which was Pentecost. And there he pours out the Holy Spirit. So you're beginning to see to everything there's a time and a season. And how can two walk together except they agree? This word agree is a form of the word mu'ed, because it is an appointed time and place. And this is what the feasts are called. We can't walk together if we don't know when and where to meet. And that's what he's saying. If we don't know when and where to meet, how are we going to walk together? Okay? So that brings us now. Say not yet, there are 4 months into the harvest, for I say unto you, the fields are already white. So we have this 4 month period between Pentecost and then God's second set of feasts that are the harvest feasts, which of course is going to begin with trumpets, which, if he continues to fill his appointment and not try to trick us, will be the resurrection of the dead. This feast has many names. Then the Day of Atonement, which will be his second coming. Then Tabernacles, where he begins his earthly reign. Now, how do we know Christ is going to have an earthly reign? Because taught on the throne before, but the whole promise of your book is that the Messiah will come and sit upon the King of David's throne forever and forever. And that's the reason for the bloodline and the lineages and all this in the Bible. You have a promise that our King's going to come back and take the world over. If the book's true, then that's exactly what he's going to do. So what we see now is we are introducing, along with the new moons that we've mentioned to you, one of the 71 witnesses, that we are bringing to you Teshuvah that begins 30 days before trumpets, then runs another 10 days into the Day of Atonement, which is going to usher in for us what we know as the days of awe. And so with that, I'm going to change screens here for a moment, and I'm going to take this last portion of the lesson to get into the days of awe. Is this plain to anybody? Bunch of liars, aren't you? Yeah, it's plain. I'll tell you what, if it is, then I know you're a lot smarter than I am, because it's not easy to grasp, especially when you kind of have to unlearn some things to get this. Okay, so this is going to bring us into the days of awe. Now, y'all understood this. When are the days of awe? Days of awe begin the Feast of Trumpets. Ends on, because that's the day of the opening of the gate. Days of awe end on when? Day of Atonement. Now, a lot of you will not realize the relevance of this wonderful, wonderful revelation that God gives us in the Word. But the relevance of this is that it allows you to understand the times and the seasons, which focuses your mind as we hear the sound of the shofar. It keeps you set free from materialism. It keeps you set free from understanding that this world, as this age as you know it's going to go on forever. And it gives you an urgency to become a teacher and a mentor, because what you already know, 90% of the world would love to hear. And you've got to tell them. All right. So, the biblical fall feast, we've got Teshuvah that we just mentioned, which is to prepare to meet the groom. And this is where the day of the Lord is about to start now. It starts on the Feast of Trumpets, and we've mentioned it's that thousand-year time. Now, we need to understand that the day of the Lord is a changing in the earth. It is a time when we are entering into the end of this age. And the end of this age is simply where Satan has reigned and ruled for 6,000 years over man as we know him. And he is not going to give up easily. So what happens, that takes us to this beginning seven-year period where it is known as the birth pangs. Why is it called the birth pangs? Well, I'm glad you asked. Because it is the earth, all of creation groaning, all of mankind going through these problems, because it is a time to give birth to the Messiah and usher in a new age. And so we see where, of course, the Feast of Trumpets were taken to the wedding, Days of Awe. We've mentioned this, Day of Atonement, the bride and groom return, and the Feast of Tabernacles, where we crown him King of Kings. So in Isaiah 26, a terminology, if you're taking notes, is another name for the Feast of Trumpets is the opening of the gates. And as you begin to see all of the biblical names for the Feast of Trumpets, there is no doubt in your mind what it is called, the Day of the Awakening Blast, the Day of Resurrection of the Dead, Wedding of Messiah. I mean, when you look at all the terminologies, it totally describes exactly the event that will happen. But I'm starting here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 2. Open the gates that the who? Who's going to enter in? The righteous nation. Now, who's the righteous nation? All those that have done teshuva, all those that have applied the blood of Christ in the day we live in, all those that are believers. But just because you've applied the blood doesn't mean you're still full of oil. So it's definitely the righteous nation, or the just virgins that have a church uniform on, but they have the goods on the inside as well. So once again, it's foreign to us, but this verse, when he says open the gates, we understand this is when they're open. Okay, that's why he gave Paul or Peter the keys. All right. So when we look at the days of awe, it begins with the blowing of the last trump, which is the Feast of Trumpets. It ends on the Day of Atonement. And how we know it ends is with the sounding of the Shofar HaGadol, which is the great shofar, which you will find in Matthew 24. When one is in the bed and one is taken, one is in the field, one is taken, one is left. And so you actually have three trumpets. You have the first trump that was blown. When was it blown? It was blown when they were at the mountain getting the law. We're waiting on the last trump, which is the right horn of the ram that was sacrificed instead of Isaac. It's what it's seen as. We're waiting on the last trump, which is another name for the Feast of Trumpets. And then whenever we get the great trump, it is the end of this age as we know it. No other flesh will be saved or be into the bridegroom. It is the final judgment, ushering us into the thousand years until the great white throne of judgment. So if you're not in the rapture above, you're left on the earth below to go through the days of awe. And this is what we know as the great tribulation and the great tribulation. Now, another terminology that is used during this days of awe and during the season of Teshuvah, they saw this, as I've already said, as a time when you were being weighed in the balance. And we today, back when I was a child and we'd go to the butcher shop or the grocery store, they'd have this balance beam with true weights in one side, hopefully, and put whatever meat we bought in the other, and it would balance, and we would pay for that we had purchased righteously. And so what God hates, this is why he said he can't stand, he despises an unjust scale or an unjust weight, because everything has to be lawful in order. But they are seeing during this time of Teshuvah, when they are preparing, that God, this is the time when God's going to weigh them in the balance each year. So this is why Job said, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, and but God may know my integrity." Daniel 5, verse 27. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance, and God says, you're found wanting. So we are moving into this season where the gates are going to be open, where God is going to open the gates, and then if you are found weighed as gold and silver and not stubble, and you balance the scale, then you are entered in as the righteous nation. In Isaiah 26 and 7, the way of the just is uprightness. Thou most upright dost weigh the path of the just. So I'm just giving you some scriptures, so when I throw these things out to you, don't say, well, the preacher said. No, forget what I say. Study your Bible, and when you talk to someone, say, well, the Bible says. Please don't fall into my church says. That's cultish. If your church is saying something wrong, you need to be in the Bible and find out. Get out of that church, okay? So study this. Proverbs, and with today's computerized Bibles, man, you can just look up balances or weights and you can find all these scriptures, and then you'll know how to plug them in and what they really mean. Proverbs 16 and 2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirit. So I'm just simply letting you understand that this is how they see this season, that he is coming near, he is judging them. Another terminology, I don't know if I have it in this lesson, is called passing under the rod. He's the great shepherd. And so he is at this time counting his true sheep. Okay, so all these, this is exactly how they thought. That there was no, this is why the Jewish nation is so great today. They may have some minor differences on their outer holiness standards. And one may wear this hat, they're kind of like Christians, you know, and another way, not cut their beard here. But on the main issues, there's no division. Why? Because this is the way it is. This is the way it's always been under. You're the Johnny come lately. And for you to think you're going to go teach them, that's ridiculous to think that a grafted in branch is going to tell the stump and the tree how to grow. So you're in order learning these things biblically. All right. Other names for the days of awe. Yamin Norim means days of awe. Called the awesome days. So when you come across these terminologies, called the wrath of God, called the indignation. So obviously we don't want to be here during this time. We want to be in the righteous nation. We don't have done teshuva. Called Jacob's trouble. It's called the birth pangs. It's called the tribulation. It's called Daniel's 70th week. So this is a lot of things to digest and a lot of things to become familiar with. But as you begin to down the road, all of a sudden the Bible really gets more exciting to read because you have a much greater understanding. You don't have to read a book written by somebody to tell you what the Bible means and hope they were right. So one of the names, Time of Jacob's Trouble, one of the scriptures you can look up for that, Jeremiah chapter 30, verse number 7. Alas, for the day is great, there is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, Jacob's trouble takes you back to the 7-year period in the book of Daniel, where it is this covenant is made for 1 week, and it's the man of peace that actually is the man of sin. And we have mentioned time and time again where this 1 7-year period fits. It is during this time between the last trump and the Day of Atonement. So, time of Jacob's trouble. It's also called the time of trouble. And we'll find another verse for that in Daniel 12, verse 1. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which stands for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that be found written in the book. So what we see here is if you didn't have a New Testament, I could still preach to you what you would understand right out of the Old Testament, because anything someone teaches out of the New Testament that's not in the Old is a wrong interpretation. Period. Old Testament's our schoolmaster. So anytime you get anything that does not align with the schoolmaster, you're out of line. You've got something that hasn't arrived yet at total truth, okay? So I'm pointing that out to tell you that I could speak here of what we see in the New Testament that we call the tribulation, the Great Tribulation, and it's the same description as what I'm giving you here in the Old Testament. Daniel's 70th week, he shall confirm the covenant. I've mentioned this. And this seven-year period, for those of you who want to know, begins in Revelation chapter 6, and it runs through Revelation chapter 19. The first chapters of the book of Revelations, at first is the unveiling of Christ, that He is Messiah, that He is the Lord, that He is the one that sits on the throne. Then we enter into the next chapter after chapter 4 that begins with the sounding of a shofar, and the door is opened in heaven. What did we just see? Sounding of the shofar, feast of trumpets, what's it called? Opening of the gates. John can't go into heaven until the shofar sounds, which opens the gates, which aligns with everything you're learning here. He goes in, what's he go into? You now then, Revelations 4, Revelations 5, or a coronation service. It is the wedding supper that aligns with what you're learning here. Then we see in Revelation 6 through 19, the adut is read. And this is where the Messiah, the king that's coming to earth, unrolls the scroll. He's doing what every king of Israel did. He is reading to them what he expects, what he will accomplish, what's going to transpire during his reign. And so this is what you're seeing in Revelation 6 through 19. Then in Revelation 20 and verse chapter 21, you're seeing him as he brings in the new heaven and new earth. And we have enter into the Olam Haba, which is the eighth day, the world to come. After the 6,000 years of man, after the seventh day, the Shabbat, the 1,000 year of the Lord, we enter into eternity. Time of tribulation, in Matthew chapter 24, another name for the days of awe, is a time of tribulation. Matthew 24 and 3, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately and said, "Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age? For then shall be," and Jesus says, "for then shall be great tribulation, such was not since the beginning of the world this time, nor ever shall be." He's just requoting what I read to you in the Old Testament. Another name for these Yamin Noraim, the days of awe, Daniel's 70th week, time of indignation, the wrath of God, is a day of judgment. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 through 9. So what this will eventually do to you, should you go on to know the Lord, as Hosea said, what we see is as you read your Bible, all of a sudden, it's here a little, there a little. It's not written like a normal book. And that's why in Isaiah he said, "Whom would he give knowledge, whom would he give understanding? For them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast." For he said, "For precept would be upon precept, here a little, there a little." In other words, it is kind of like a big jigsaw puzzle, but once you are taught key phrases, words, the time clock, the temple lessons, the star signs, these things that God wrote this book in, then when you read certain terminologies, you begin to know how to put the scriptures together and you get the full picture. Without that, it's tough. 2 Peter 2, verse 4 through 9, I want to say again, we're not saved by knowledge. You're no more saved if you understand this than if you don't. But this is for people that are wicked like me. Because if I'm not challenging my mind with learning the things of God, my mind is going to be focusing on something else before I won't be living for God with my whole heart. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, 2 Peter verse 4 through 9, covering a terminology called the day of judgment for this time of the days of awe, but he cast them to hell, and he delivered them into chains of darkness to preserve the judgment, and he spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, picture of the eighth day, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, turned the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes. He condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly. He delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them and seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust into the day of judgment to be punished. So, this is another time, it's called the Day of Judgment. So what's God actually doing? What God is actually doing is, and this is really possibly hard for us to comprehend, that we are living in this season, and there are some pastors and scholars that break down different ways since God has created mankind, that he has dealt in dispensationalism. And some scholars tell us that we are living in the dispensation of grace. Well, what will happen is as we see that we move into the days of awe at this last trump, then it is a birth pangs to usher in the new age, and we leave the season of grace. And grace is unmerited favor with God. But now then, because God is so loving that he's willing that none should perish, that all of his children that are playing by the train tracks or out by the road and are too young and don't understand what they're doing, this days of awe is actually where God takes his belt off as our Heavenly Father. And he's saying, look, you didn't get it in my love. So I've got to allow this to come upon you, because hopefully in the discipline, this will bring you to my knowledge. So you need to understand that the people that are going to go through this are people that need it. Because if that won't save them, you know, you spank someone enough, if that doesn't get their attention, then it's obviously they are a holy, unrighteous person. So God's just in what he's going to be doing. All right, so until the day of judgment to be punished. We also see it's called the birth pangs. In Jeremiah chapter 30, verses 4 through 7, speaking of the days of awe, and these are the words that the Lord spake concerning Israel and concerning Judah. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now and see whether a man does travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness. Now watch what he ties this to. So here we are, a woman like with child, and people's faces are turning to paleness. Why? In their fear. Why? Because alas, that day is so great that none is like it. It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. So we see these terminologies begin to be put closer and closer together and understand the season that we're describing. In Isaiah 13, verses 6 through 11, we see, howl, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It will come as a destruction from the Almighty. Therefore shall all hands be faint, and every man's heart shall melt. And they shall be afraid, pangs and sorrow shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman that travaileth. They shall be amazed one at another, their faces shall be as flame. So another scripture to share where this season of the days of awe is also seen called as the birth pains. Isaiah 26:17, like a woman with child that draws near, the time of her delivery is in pain, and she cries out in her pangs. So have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, if it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. And thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. And so we're seeing that the resurrection and the time of the birth pains are placed together. And as you become more familiar with the terminologies and you read your Old Testament, you're going to see, even when we get into the fall of whoever modern Babylon is and who the 144,000 really are, and these pictures begin to put closer and closer together to where we have a greater understanding. So as he's talking about these birth pains, he says, and thy dead men shall live again, together with my dead body shall they awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust, for the dew is as the dew of herbs. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers and shut the doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment, till the indignation be overpassed. For the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So we see, and in my studies over 30 years, I know a little bit more than I used to. I used to think we would go through the 7 years of tribulation. Now I don't see any way the Bible backs that thought process at all. When you understand, I mean, we are hidden during this indignation. And that's the whole purpose of the bride. And you'll find this is the thought process in the Old Testament totally, and I think goes along in the New as well. So he hides his bride, he hides his people while the indignation, while this days of wrath are poured out. And then your hope is, if you're still in the days of wrath, I personally believe that the Bible teaches that people can find salvation after the rapture of the church. So, and even if they're not Jews, the Jews obviously will. So there may be hope if some of your loved ones didn't make it. If we don't make it, knowing what we know, I don't know if that spirit of strong delusion will see to it that we become reprobate and can't receive anyway. Matthew 24, all these are the beginning of sorrow. Know the terminology for the days of all. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 3 through 5. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail on a woman with child. And they, not talking about us, they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness. That day won't overtake you as a thief. You're the children of light and the children of the day. God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So, what we see in closing this out is we see the days of awe. Once again, it's the first 10 days of the first month in God's calendar. It's called, if you look up a Hebrew calendar, Tishra. And it ends on the last day of Teshuvah, which is Tishra 10, which is the Day of Atonement. It is the 1 week between the Feast of Trumpets and the Day of Atonement. There are three parts to these days of awe. Part one is from Tishra 1st and 2nd. It is known as Yom HaDin. Yom HaDin just simply means a day of judgment. And so what we're seeing once again is that this is the season when we are judged by God. And this is why the same payment is given to somebody that works only the last 5 minutes in the parable as someone that's worked all day, because the payment is eternal life. But there comes a moment of judgment where once that judgment falls, that anyone after that, it's not the same situation. So judgment, Yom HaDin, there's a first judgment on the day of Feast of Trumpets. If I'm found with my white clothing and I'm found with the oil in, I am sheltered and I go into Revelation 4, the last trump sounds, the door opens, I walk into the coronation service, which is what 4 and 5 are. Then part 2 is Tishra 3 through the 9th, and that is here on the earth below, if you haven't made the resurrection of the dead and the catching away of the church, where you're going to go through this 2-3.5 year periods that start bad and get worse. And then part 3 of the days of awe are on Tishra 10th, which is the Day of Atonement, and this also is the next Yom HaDin, and this is when the shofar HaGadol is blown, and that is because it is God's judgment now as he comes back to the earth to sit on his throne, and as we crown him King of Kings here in the earth, and we go to the marriage supper here in the temple, that the angels are sent forth, and those that have lived through the great tribulation, which there will be people live through that you are divided into two groups. You are either taken to the wedding supper of the bride, because you are a believer, and that's why the Bible clearly points out in the New Testament, there are friends of the bride. We're the bride. But there's going to be friends of the bride. Does that make sense to everybody? So here at this last day, the friends of the bride are bought to enjoy that. And then if you're in the other group, you are taken to the Feast of Leviathan, where you are the food, and the gate, Kidron Valley, there at the Kidron Valley, bottom of Kidron Valley, empties into Gehenna Valley, and we see that it opens up, and Satan and all of his followers, the children of pride, and all those that still would not bow their knee, even when they're being chastened, to the righteous king to come, are cast into the belly of the earth for 1,000 years while Christ reigns on the earth, and then they are, Satan's loosed again. And so this Yom HaDin, this day of judgment, when the trump's blown on the first and the last of the days of all. Once again, there's one blown Feast of Trumpets, then the Day of Atonement, which is that second judgment trumpet. Both are trumpets of judgment. It's the last trump and the great trump. And of course, we've seen where the first trump is blown in Exodus 19. And came to pass in the third morning, there was thunder and lightning and a thick cloud on the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people were in the camp. This is when God espoused himself and Israel was betrothed to him. They said, whatever he says, we will do. They accepted the bride price, the bride contract. And then we see the last trump is what we're waiting for, that's spelled out in 1 Corinthians, which is whenever we go to the marriage supper, and then the great trump is in Matthew 24. Hope this helped you in some way. God bless. We'll meet again next lesson.